Lights are going up, snow is falling down. There's a feeling of goodwill around town. It could only mean one thing. McRib is here. People throwing parties, ugly sweaters everywhere. Stockings hung up by the chimney with care. It could only mean one thing. McRib is here.
At participating McDonald's for a limited time.
Hey, y'all. Elise here, popping in from my mother-in-law's house in Wisconsin to remind you that on December 29th, you can see Millie and I live at UCB New York hosting the It Sucked Awards. We have a bunch of really hilarious comedians who are going to be giving out awards to the suckiest shit of 2024. We would love to see you there. There are both in-person and live stream tickets. In-person tickets are $15 ahead of time, $20 the day of the show. Live stream tickets are $10. Now, on to our mailbag episode.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You got mail.
Hi, I'm Millie Tamarez.
And I'm Elise Morales.
And this is
Go Touch Grass.
The podcast where we log in.
So you can log off.
Elise and I are two chronically online comedians. And on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can literally do anything else.
And if you like what you hear today and you want to hear more, we've got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up and running with tons more content, weekly access to our Discord community, and our spinoff series, Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past. This is a pre-recorded episode, so I don't know what our last search history was, but I bet it was really good and in-depth and well-researched. And if you go to our Patreon, you'll be able to see it.
Yes. Yes. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We love your reviews. We need more of them. We can't tell you how much it means to us. Yes. And also, like, again, our names are spelled M-I-L-L-Y and then Elise is spelled A-L-I-S-E.
Yeah.
I noticed that everything that's nice about us on the internet has our name spelled wrong.
Yeah. And one everything or both.
Yeah, and wrong. Everything mean about us has our names right.
Yeah, those people are actually doing the research. They're like, I want these bitches to know it's them that I'm saying this about.
But really, the best review you can do is to tell your friends and tag us in a little story while we post it. You know we're online.
Guys, speaking of us being online, this is our mailbag episode.
Guys, we need you to know that this has been a super busy week for us. We're recording mm-hmm. in the future, in the past.
We're recording in the past. Imagine if we were recording in the future.
Yeah, I know. That would be funny. But this week, we're recording 4 episodes this week, and we had a meeting for something very special.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
That we're
going to
be doing for our patrons that we're going to announce in the new year.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been a busy, busy week.
It really, really has. It really, really has. But We couldn't just let our wonderful listeners, our Grass Nation, go into Christmas Day and not have a new episode of Go Touch Grass in their feed to listen to. That would be cruel. During the holidays,
when you guys are taking. Yes, exactly. When you guys are taking your little, quote, so, like, breaks where you go walk because someone said something crazy and you're going to, quote, unquote, walk and smoke weed. Have us here listening in your ears. Listen to us just yap on up.
Yeah, listen to us answer some questions that were sent by you guys via DM, via email. Let me just say that I do think that Instagram needs a better system for searching your messages.
Yeah, I don't
like
know.
Like a search feature where I could type the word mailbag and then every message with that word in it would come up easily. The technology exists.
Instagram's about to be the biggest social media monopoly in the world.
I know.
Meta, they're not going to improve. No. And we're going to have to be on Douyin, which is the Chinese TikTok.
Yeah. And bitch, should we get Go Touch Grass Pod on Douyin?
Bitch, I am. And I learned my entry level Mandarin. Okay, wo de pun yo, wo ai ni, wo shu mili. Okay.
Wow. Okay. So that was really good.
I'm ready for.
I don't know shit.
I said, I'm your friend. I love you. And my name is Millie. And that's beautiful. All we need, baby. That's
I'm your all friend. I love you. And my name is Millie. And that is M-I-L-L-Y.
Why? Yes. Why? Bitch, and guess what? The people in China will spell our names right. I'll tell you.
There you go.
On Douyin, they will spell our names.
When we're on Douyin.
Okay, Douyin, but if you ever go down the rabbit hole of Chinese, like what's trending in China, It's really interesting and fascinating because something that I noticed before we get into the mailbag, something that I noticed or that's popped up is that like Chinese core or Chinese influencers love like Americana and American core and all that stuff and like American brands. So what some of the influencer girlies will do is they will go to a camping store like REI and like pose in the, cause you know, the camping store and pose and then make it look like they're camping with all this like high tech American gear.
That's really so funny. Oh, what's the name of that place? Bass Pro Shop. It like looks Bass like Pro a forest Shop. In there and they have like a big tree. I mean, the one in Nashville, they have a big tree and the elevator's in the tree and then you go to the top and...
The one in Memphis is the pyramid.
Sorry, Memphis. Yes, sorry.
I know that because there's a gay guy, Mark Sebastian, who vlogged. He stayed at the... Because there's a hotel in there. He stayed at the Bass Pro Shop Hotel.
I went there when me and Danny went to a wedding in Memphis. We went to the Bass Pro Shop pyramid.
Did you stay there?
We did not stay there. It's extremely expensive to stay there. The hotel, it looks like little like cabins. At least There are rooms on the outside that look like little cabins. It was a crazy place. It's the 10th largest pyramid in the world.
Insane. But guess what? This gay guy from LA does a vlog where he just spends like 3 days in there doing everything. He's by himself and he's just like, fucking, he went through the rooms. He goes bowling alone. He goes to the top. He does a fashion show of all the camo. Like, I'm like, damn, do I want to go to the Bass Pro Shop?
It's wild in there. It's wild in there. I will say there is a lot of dead animals. Fake dead animals. Maybe some real ones. That's not what stuck out to me. There are real fish. But there's a lot of pro Second Amendment like signs that are like, I'll kill you. And I'm just like, that freaks me out for you to have a sign that's like, I will fucking shoot you. And I'm like, oh my God.
My sister had a song. First of all, the important thing to know is that my parents are Buddhist. We're very like anti, like I grew up very like peaceful to as peaceful and pacifist as you can grow up in Miami being, you know, because there is a reality where, you know,
shit gets real.
But my sister worked at Kmart and she brought us a decal for our thing that said, forget, because it said, remember those signs that said, beware of dog?
Yeah.
So my sister had a decal that said, forget the dog, beware of owner. And then it said gun.
No, not a gun.
I know. But like, no one in my family had it. She's like, we're just going to put it on to scare people, but we don't have shit.
That's really funny. Yeah, there was like a lot of material like that. But other than that, it was cool. And we did eat at the restaurant that's at the top of the pyramid. And Danny did get a hat.
Okay, what did the hat say, Elise?
Says Bass Pro Shop. Says Bass Pro Shop.
Borderline, he's towing. To look like that with a Bass Pro Shop hat, I'm just saying.
Yeah. That's his cross to bear. That's his cross.
Speaking of your cross to bear.
Oh my God. Wow, that's a great transition.
I'm so good at transitions.
Really good. Knowing what's to come, that was really good. That was really, 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 really.
Speaking of your cross to bear, now that Eras Tour is officially over, some say finally, you say sadly.
I already saw it. So if it was over and I hadn't seen it, I would say sadly, but I saw it. So she can stop doing it now. I went.
So. You went. You went. Yes, you did.
I saw the
Eras Tour thing. I was out of someone's house and they were playing it, and it was fascinating. I had so many thoughts racing through my mind.
It's very interesting to think about what she will do next, or like how she tours another album, or like what the vibe is next. You know what I mean? After doing this like massive thing that was like 2 years long and all of this stuff, like it's interesting, but I'm sure her and Tree Pain will figure out something.
If anyone's going to figure it out, it's them.
It'll be them. So should I read this question? Should we start with our first question?
Yes, okay, start with your first question.
The reason we're talking about Taylor is because we got this question from @thatAraGirl on Instagram. It was addressed to me specifically, though, Millie, I'm happy to hear your thoughts as well on this topic that I'm sure you know an enormous amount about. Addressed to me, what is your theory on the Gaylor conspiracies in the Swiftie community? Has your opinion changed since Travis Kelce? Have you gone down the Zoe Kravitz rabbit hole? This is a very deep and complicated, this is a complex question, but I'll go in order. My theory, I go back and forth about the Gaylor conspiracy theories. I know that there are rumors in New York about Taylor Swift's activities around the city. I've heard them. I don't know if I believe them necessarily. And then some. Okay, so the first like pinpoint in the Gaylor conspiracy is Taylor's relationship with this.
What is Gaylor, Elise?
Oh, yeah. Please. I guess I should start with that. There. I'm assuming everyone.
Start there for the people who don't know. This is, again, for the not online. So first, say
right,
Taylor
the premise
Swift.
Of the podcast, the premise of the podcast. So the Gaylor conspiracy is a community that believes that Taylor Swift is gay or bi. If I am in the Gaylor conspiracy personally, I could see her being bi. Mm-hmm. I don't think that she is in fake relationships with men and that she's never actually like been in love with any of these men. There are like contingencies within Gaylor that they like think that all of her male relationships are a complete, it's just a beard situation. And then there are other people who think that throughout the time that she has been famous, she has also had very intimate relationships with women, very giving Emily Dickinson, like writing a letter to her friend and being like, I love to kiss you, friend. And everyone's like, they were really close, you know, like like old lesbians writing each other letters. And that's like, they're very effusive, but historians will be like, they were close friends and roommates. It's a lot of that energy. And it goes back to like the beginning of her career. Like there was a woman that was in her band that she was very, very, very close with. And I think was a little bit older. And I need you guys to know that I'm doing this off the dome.
Yeah, she's not reading anything.
I'm doing this off the dome.
Clearly doing this from her memory.
There's a woman that was in Taylor's band, and this goes back to like MySpace, where there are like pictures of like MySpace comments they would leave for each other, or like little things they would write on each other's. Like, I remember there was a trend on MySpace back in the day where you would take a picture of yourself like holding a message for your friend and then put it on there. You could like embed it as a comment on their page. It was like a whole thing.
Yeah.
And they would send a lot of those back and forth that were very effusively loving in many ways. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the first one. The other big pillar of this is Karlie Kloss. She had a very, a lot of people speculated that she was dating Karlie Kloss back in the 1989 era.
Mm-hmm.
Because Taylor
1989 is an album.
It's an album. Yes. That I feel released, like people know.
But it was released how many years ago? 5 years ago?
Probably 2014 or 2015, I think. Yeah, no, it's
10 years
album ago. Release. date. Not Taylor's version. Yeah, 2014.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So
because
10 years ago, she had
to it in my life. 10 years ago, she had an album that's kind of probably considered like her best. I think it's her most commercially successful album, and it's considered her most like critically successful, I would say. Yeah, like 1989 has like a, yeah, it has like a different reverence. It was also, I feel like, the when people really, even though Red is a great album, I feel like 1989 is when people were like, okay, we have to like take Taylor Swift seriously. This is like a different level of musician and artist or whatever. And that was her big era where she had all the friends and she was always stomping around and doing her tour and like bringing out celebrities all the time. And Karlie Kloss was one of those really, really close friends. They have since had a falling out, apparently. Famously, Karlie Kloss was just like seen in the bleachers for Eras Tour, like in like
not even in the VIP
seats. No, like in seats she clearly bought herself. So something happened with her and Karlie Kloss. So the friendship with Karlie Kloss is like a big pillar. And then, yeah, Taylor Swift has just had a lot of very intimate friendships there. If you go deep into the Gaylor theory, there are a lot of songs that people think are about Karlie Kloss or certain other people or this woman in her band. So there are people, the Gaylor theory is basically like there are people online who will get really deep into that and analyze every single thing. For me, the most compelling piece of Gaylor evidence to me is that it is rumored that Taylor was supposed to come out at World Pride in 2019 and that she was going to get on a float and that she was going to wear this rainbow Christian Siriano outfit. This was around the time that Lover came out. And remember, Lover had all of the like pro-gay messaging. Like it had a, you need to calm down on it. And like all of this kind of like queer, sick. It was like ally. She was, I think she was trying
she
to be like, I'm an ally.
She framed it as ally, but people think it's her coming out.
Yeah, people were thinking, even though Lover is a, is I do think that album is a lot about Joe Alwyn. People thought that she was going to come out in some manner at this time. And one of the big pieces of evidence is that I guess this rumor was happening. And then Christian Siriano like posted a picture of himself sipping tea next to this outfit that is like a kind of like sheer rainbow outfit. And people took that to mean like she was going to appear and wear the outfit. I think the rumor like already existed. And so he like posted the picture in the context of that. I'm forgetting that exact detail. But either way, people were like, oh my God, it's going to be Taylor Swift. And then the Scooter Braun lawsuit dropped and she did not appear at World Pride.
Scooter Braun bought her masters and then she sued him.
Yes. Yes. That's when Scooter Braun bought her masters. Like that happened then, which kicked off the whole Taylor Swift re-recording all of her albums and all of the that has come since. But so she did not appear at World Pride and Billy Porter wore the outfit, but you can tell that the outfit was not actually made for Billy Porter because there is like a skin colored panel on it that's made clearly for a white person. Hmm. And Christian Siriano is like not gonna, if he made a custom outfit for Billy Porter, he's not going to make that mistake. Mm-hmm. Like Christian Siriano's whole thing is to be like kind of like an inclusive designer who works with like people of color. And like it just would be, it clearly the outfit wasn't made for Billy Porter. And then it's like, okay, why is Billy Porter wearing this not custom Christian Siriano? Clearly someone else was supposed to wear it. And people believe that it was Taylor Swift. I do think that that's interesting. But to me, I just always come back to like, it is odd to me to be like, okay, I'm going to come out at World Pride in front of everyone. Okay, then this kind of unrelated thing happened and then I'm just going to stay in the closet for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Like I do, like if I'm like, if she had this huge plan to come out, I get that that specific plan was foiled because of certain things, but why never
come out,
say anything again if you were already planning to do it?
I went on a date with this guy who was like, he told me he was bi, but that he only engaged in sexual relationships with men, but would actually only date women. I feel like that guy's part specifically was probably gay. I believe bi people exist, but the way that he viewed it of like, it wasn't like, oh, I prefer or this and that. He's like, gay, like my relationships with men is only sex. It's only sex. It's only in a way that I'm like, oh, you don't seem comfortable with this. Like,
yeah,
it's like a whole thing. Instead of being like, I find that my relationships with women satisfy me more and whatever. Like, it just seems like something he wasn't even comfortable exploring, like a serious relationship with a man. So maybe that could be it, of like the rumors that are about her sleeping with people.
Yeah.
I've heard, and I don't doubt them, but again, I do also agree. And I say that Travis Kelce, I don't really see her having this super deep connection with Travis Kelce that she's never had with any other man. I think what happens, I mean, specifically with Travis Kelce, I can't speak to her other relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of her other relationships with Harry Styles, but like, I do think that sometimes like PR people will be like, hey, it would be cool if you guys like, if we got you popped together, like if we got paparazzi, whatever. And then if it hits off, they actually go on and get in a relationship. Like, I don't think that they're not nothing. But like, as I've said pretty clearly, Travis Kelce exclusively only dated not just Black women, but Instagram baddies.
Yeah.
Like, cause it's okay. Like, okay, it's not like he's dating like Black lawyers or girls who went to Harvard or like a Sasha Obama type Black girls. He's dating Instagram baddie, thick, beautiful Black women. And I do feel like the way that he went mainstream was to get into this relationship with Taylor. So I do feel like there's a connection there.
Yeah.
I do feel like whatever, but I'm definitely thinking it was 100% a PR move for them to at least meet for the first date.
Yeah, well, just in general, I think that Taylor Swift, like, everything that she does is very, very calculated. And that's, you know, how she's gotten to the place that she's at. I am sure that there are powers that be that pushed Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce together on both sides of their teams, being like, these are two people, like, this would be good for both of them. Because this offers Taylor Swift a different level of pop star girly than she had before. Like, to be like, hot football player's girlfriend is a different vibe than she's ever had. And also Taylor Swift's core wound is that she was not cool in high school and that she did not date the football player. So I think that this actually feeds her soul in a very interesting and weird way.
Yeah, because she was never like hot in the way that football players want someone hot.
Yeah,
right?
In 2002.
In 2002, yeah.
You know, like, and she even says in Miss Americana, like, you get kind of arrested at the time that you became famous. And she does have a lot of like interesting remnant feelings. Taylor Swift, again, she never forgets anything that's ever happened to her. And that's why she is able to write her music, but it also makes her deeply weird. But so with regard to Travis Kelce, I think that they definitely have a connection. And I do think that I think she's had a lot of very intense relationships with like emotionally intense, like quote unquote, intellectual men, older men, guys who are like artist types. And I do think there's an element where like it might be nice to just date a guy who's like, yeah, cool, I love your music, so fun, instead of like fucking John Mayer when you're 22 being like, I actually don't think you're a very good songwriter and all of this stuff. Like, she's dated a lot of like pretentious guys. Mm-hmm. And I think it might be like a break for her to date someone who is in a completely different field and
is tweeting about squirrels. Yeah,
exactly. Is tweeting like, yo, I didn't know squirrels ate like that. Like, just
okay.
After Maddie Healy, I mean, which, you know, obviously we've had that discourse before, but it's like, that guy's an asshole. And John Mayer's an asshole. And apparently like Joe Alwyn, according to the narrative from her and certain people, was like very pretentious as well and like talked down to
a British actor. Of course. And they're all crazy. Okay, yeah. Quickly to go talk to us about the Zoe Kravitz rabbit hole, because I do not want to spend the entire Megan Vlogs mailbag talking about Taylor Swift.
The Zoe Kravitz rabbit hole, I have not truly fully gone down the Zoe Kravitz rabbit hole. My understanding is like they've been close friends on and off for a long time. I imagine there's ever other evidence, but I think it all wraps up into this world of like Taylor Swift has these very like emotionally intense, close friendships with women. And it is difficult to decipher if they are romantic or not, because I do also think there is a varietal of straight girl who acts this way with their friends too. And I think that Taylor is like weird about being like, I think she's one of those people who's like, this is my best friend. Look at my, there's something. It kind of goes back to this high school thing. I didn't even know she was
friends with Zoe Kravitz, but I wonder like.
They've been friends for a long time, I think.
Oh, okay. Because the Zoe Kravitz, I'm like, that seems new to me. Maybe it's like a post Maddie Healy trying to be performative friendship, like with Ice Spice. Like,
well, yeah, I, my understanding is I think they've been like close on and off, which is like also a thing, but also that's just a human thing.
Yeah.
Like that's not, you know, people get close on and off, but yeah, I feel like maybe Zoe Kravitz was around a little bit during the 1989 era when she was like, again, just like bringing out lots of different celebrities and like having all these model friends and like also Lena Dunham. And like, it's like a whole thing.
Insufferable. Well, that's, I hope that our girl is satisfied.
Yeah, I was like that. I could go longer, but yeah, TLDR is, I think her connection with Travis is real. I think she might be bi. Some Gaylor stuff is intriguing, but I don't understand why ultimately if she had a plan to come out, she wouldn't have done it.
I feel like she'll come out and say she slept with women when she's like 50.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
I'd see that. I would see that.
Yeah.
She'll write a memoir at some point, make more money than she's already made. And yeah, we'll get the whole story.
Yeah. Well, okay. Our next question comes from Shannon Wright on Instagram that says, what history does Millie have with game shows? Why did a few people get stabbed at Millie's birthday party? Is there any other lore that you'd like to share with the listeners? So in terms of my history with game shows, I wrote for two game shows. The first, it was the dating game, which is like The Wall with three contestants, Bachelor number one, Bachelor number two, Bachelor number three. But then the dater was a celebrity. So I was in charge of all the questions. So the questions had to be both questions that are good to ask date for dates and also ones that hint like who the celebrity is.
Mm-hmm.
And also I was in charge and I worked with Michael Bolton and I was in charge of writing a lot of the music, like writing a lot of the lyrics for the songs that because Michael Bolton would sing songs that would hint on who was
awesome.
On who awesome. The singer was. I think all the episodes are available on Hulu. It was hosted by Zoe Deschanel and Michael Bolton. It was really crazy. So for a while they wanted like another, like they were looking for a co-host for with Michael Bolton. So I screen tested with Michael Bolton. I like,
what's his vibe?
Very funny, very sweet, very, aww, very like he's, I mean, and also, you know, he can sing. Whether or not he can do comedic acting, that's a whole other thing.
That's up to the viewer.
But it was really fun. And then I wrote for another game show by the creators of Cash Cab. But instead of a cab, the way that they would do was they would get people. It was hosted by Jason Biggs. And they would get people, they would say, oh, we're going to do like an HGTV, like tour of your home. Mm-hmm. But then, so they would like sign all the releases. Cause that's what happens is like people sign the releases, but then they get surprised by the cash cab. But for this game show, it'd be like, they sign all the releases thinking they're going to tour their home. And it was actually like Jason Biggs knocks on their door and he's like, hey, I have $25,000 in cash and you will get it if you answer these questions correctly. And it's like random families and stuff. So it was like, whatever. That one was super hard because writing trivia is hard. Like we had all these parameters of like, it has to be under 140 characters. It has to, the answer has to be something that everyone knows, but the question has to be different.
Yeah.
So, and then also we would do like man on the street games and stuff. So that's kind of, and you know, I feel like I've written like definitely more bits and stuff with game shows, but those are my two like professional WGA like Writers Guild. And that was on E! For a while. And both game shows did not get picked up. I don't know.
It's hard to be a game show.
It's hard to be a game show. And then for my birthday party, this is a little longer. I'm going to try to tell this story without expressing names. So in the way that a TV show, the TV show has three storylines. There's the main storyline, the B storyline, the C storyline, and they all intersect. So I have my 19th birthday party. I'm away at college, but first summer I'm there. And one of my best friends, Jolie, is in my... So poor Jolie. Jolie's visiting, whatever. And I have this huge birthday bash. My family's house in Florida has a huge backyard, a pool, and everything, right? And everyone's like kind of fresh out of high school. It's been like a year or two. My little brother's still in high school. So he like has his friends. So it just... And I have my older brothers and all this stuff like... So it just becomes this like big bash, you know? Mm-hmm. And my parents, at the time, I think my dad had already quit his job to work with my mom's salon. Mm-hmm. And Saturdays and Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sundays, like are the busy days in the salon. So it wouldn't be unheard of for our parents to like come home. They close the salon at 8 or 9. They go out to eat. They're coming home at 11 and they just like completely knock out because they're doing like physical labor all day. And my dad's running around getting beauty. So my parents were just like, whatever. So what happens is I have this best gay friend who's completely toxic and chaotic and very abrasive, right? So that's like kind of story A. And then story B is that I have another friend and she has a serious boyfriend who sucks and she's cheating on him with this guy. Let's call him Pedro. Mm-hmm. So my friend Christina is sleeping with Pedro on the side and she has her boyfriend Marcos, right? Mm-hmm. So Christina and Marcos are seriously dating. And then Pedro went to our high school. Like we have mutual friends with Pedro. Pedro's like in our group and Christina's boyfriend that sucks, like if is from another school, you know, and like lives in another thing. So when everyone was like, oh, like Millie's party. Pedro goes to Christina and is like, hey, I'm going to be there with all my friends. And I love you. Like, we're sleeping together. Like, I really hope you don't bring your boyfriend because that would really hurt me.
Oh.
And then
Pedro.
And then Christina's like, I don't give a fuck about you. So Christina and everyone knows, you know, because everyone in my neighborhood knows that Christina and Pedro are low key fucking. Mm-hmm. So Christina shows up with Marcos and they're like PDA, whatever, because they're boyfriend and girlfriend. So Pedro is super hurt, super duper hurt. That's the B story.
Hey, y'all. Editing Elise popping in here just to say that at this point in the recording, based on the sheer power of Millie's storytelling, my MacBook was going to die. And I cannot have my MacBook plugged in at the same time as my microphone because one of the ports is broken. And I can't get it fixed because Millie and I are not lying when we say that we are two broke bitches. So at this point, I switch to just like my shitty MacBook Air microphone. And I did the best I could in post to make the audio sound as nice as possible on my end. But it is just like a little bit tinnier and not as good because I'm not using a real microphone. So that's a peek behind the curtain. Back to Millie's incredible story.
C's story is that my gay friend, this is 2009, probably, or 2008, 2009, probably. So I think it's actually probably summer 2008. So there's still homophobia now, but in South Florida, like whatever. So my gay friend is being pretty obnoxious and like bumping into people and being a dick. And then people are like, what the fuck is that gay guy's problem? But we're just hearing like, what the fuck is that gay guy's problem? And I'm like, excuse me, no homophobia in this house. Like I didn't.
You're allying up.
Where my friend, I'm allying up not knowing that my friend is stepping on people's shoes. pushing them out of the way, telling people, you need to ask about me, bitch. Like, really getting...
you need to ask about me, bitch, is such a, like...
Exactly. I know. Ridiculous. Embarrassing. So, this one guy gets bumped into by my gay friend. And then that guy starts saying F-word this, F-word that. And my older brother and his friends are like, you need to get the fuck out of this house. Like, we don't stand for that, whatever. And the guy's like, fuck you and your house. So my brother's friend smacks this guy in the face in front of the whole party. That's the C story. So Pedro's in a salty place. And then my gay friend does some, like, steps on his toes or like, hits him or does something stupid. And then he was like, excuse me, F-bomb, I'll beat your ass. And my gay friend's like, you need to ask about me.
So that's when you need to ask about me, bitch, happened. Okay.
Yeah. So Pedro is already so elevated and so humiliated at this point because of the Christina stuff that this gay guy being rude to him in front of everybody already emasculated him. So he needs to take his masculinity back and go. So they went to the street outside of my house and started fist fighting. What happened, Elise, was that my gay friend beat his ass in front of the whole neighborhood, in front of everybody.
Wow. He should have asked about it. That's why you need to ask about me, bitch, because if you asked, you would know that I'm going to beat your ass.
Yeah, you're going to beat your ass. You know, I'm not going to say he got completely pummeled, but I definitely think he thought he was going to, like, hate crime my friend. And my friend gave him a run for his money. There's like 100 kids in the street. I'm trying to break it up. They're pulling me back. The cops come, whatever. The guy that gets smacked and Pedro start. So the cops come. A bunch of people leave. A bunch of people run in my house and hide. It's like crazy. And then the guy that gets smacked in the face and Pedro start threatening and saying, we're going to come back and show you guys.
Okay.
Whatever. The guy who gets smacked in the face comes back with a knife. And my older brother's friend, these guys are like, we're like 19, 20, 18. My brother's friends are like in their mid 30s.
No.
So, and my, you know. So they start coming, they start fighting again, but the kid who gets smacked gets his ass beat again, and then he comes back with a knife and starts stabbing people. And the two people that got stabbed are my older brother's friends, who are kind of related to my sister-in-law.
My God, Millie, this is crazy.
I know. This is crazy. Listen, I listen to gays.
I know. I'm fascinated to listen to it. I'm just like, there's so much happening here. Like,
yeah, it's crazy.
It's a rich, rich tapestry.
Or it's a rich text. So the two guys get stabbed. And then what happens is people start throwing glass at the guy. And the guy who was stabbing people gets a bottle like broken on his head. And it gets bloody. So the police are called, ambulances are called. And usually in gang fights or like in fights like this, right? Like, let's say, for example, the Bloods are versus the Crips. What they do is they put the Bloods and Crips, like they put the Bloods in one hospital and the Crips in a different hospital so that they don't fight in the hospital. But the ambulance and the cops were so racist because all these guys were like Latino and white Latino. That they mixed up.
No.
So my brother's two friends. So one friend was in another hospital. The guy who got smacked was in one hospital. And my brother's friend was in the same hospital. So these guys had to get stable, like, and really seriously, like, mended. But they were still trying to fight in the hospital. So.
But they were still trying to fight in the hospital.
So me and Jolie have to go to one hospital to get one of my brother's friends and bring him to the other hospital. And this is kind of like there's two little icings on the cake of this story, right? Everyone's fine. Everyone lived. It's okay. Whatever. We go get the other friend, who's this guy in his mid-30s, and he's wearing a hospital gown. Like, he's in a gown. He just got stapled. And we're sitting outside the hospital waiting for the other guy to come out. And again, we're in 18, 19. My friend Jolie has never seen violence. I'm completely humiliated. I'm like, oh God. Like, every time I have a friend come over, something ghetto like this happens. So we're outside with this guy. They're like, okay, wait outside with our friend until we get the other guy out. We're outside, and the guy who's just got staples, he goes, man. And we're like, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And he's like, man, I got blood on my shoes. And we look, and it's like Converses. It's like leather Converses, but still Converses nonetheless. And we're like,
yeah, fine. This is the least of your problems. Oh, my God.
This is the least of your problems. So, okay. Pedro didn't get stabbed or anything like serious. Pedro didn't go to the hospital, right? But for years after, Pedro's like, I didn't get my ass whooped. I didn't get my ass whooped, blah, 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 blah. And then like 2 years later, I was at we call them Gettys. Like when someone's family's out of town, we have like a small little get together. In the West Coast, they call them kickbacks. But anyway, we're like at a Getty and I'm talking to Pedro's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, can I confess something? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, Pedro did get his ass kicked. Like, the party line was like, Pedro did not get his ass kicked by the F word, but
he did.
And I'm like, thank you for
that. I mean, Millie, that's an incredible story and an incredible lore drop.
Yeah, but you know, in like, if I say two people got stabbed at my birthday party, that sounds crazy. But the whole story, like in the context of masculinity being proven, homophobia, scorn lovers, it's kind of like, okay, we know.
It's like Romeo and Juliet. Like they're fated from the beginning to this tragic end.
Yeah, exactly. I actually would say that this stabbing makes more sense to me than Romeo and Juliet.
It is true. We don't know why the Capulets and the Montagues are stabbing each other. We know why the stabbing took place at your party. So we do have more backstory.
Yeah.
We do have more.
And, you know, one of my favorite articles is from, like, thefatherorsomething.com. And it's about, like, masculinity. Because there's, like, all this talk about toxic masculinity. And somebody, you know, this author says, like, masculinity, there's no toxic or non-toxic masculinity. It's that idea that masculinity is earned. If you were a girl to becoming a woman, like, it's like you get your period or you lose your virginity or something like that. But the way that you get your manhood is by committing violence, is by committing or, like, paying for something or something that's, like, external. So that's why, like, this is what the author says is, like, that age group between 16 and 21 are the people who are most susceptible to violence because they have the most to prove in terms of that.
That's so very interesting.
I always thought of that in that context.
I mean, I think that probably is the context. Was there more to the question? I mean, that was incredible.
Is there any other lore that you'd like to share with listeners? Okay, here's kind of what. So me and you, I always think this, right? You had roast of your 15-year-old self. And we had a competition, like, or you do, like, who was the
world's worst teen? Yeah, there was, like, a competition version of the show that I created. And, guys, roast of your 15-year-old self is, like, this live show that I used to host in New York for many, many years. I toured it. It was a podcast for, like, a second. It was basically, like, comedians come on and roast their teenage selves. I started doing this competition version because at the time, True TV existed. And remember, it was taking pictures and I was working with them. They like wanted it to be a game show. So that's why
it could have been.
That's why I was like doing that. And then like True TV like went out of business.
We had the world's worst teen and we determined that you were worse. I would say that the lore drop between me and you is that you were definitely like, you had boyfriends, you were in love triangles, you were dating and stuff, like, and getting into that kind of trouble. I was getting into trouble with the law. I was doing really crazy things. Like, we are different in the big. So that's like a big, like, kind of difference between me and Elise, lore wise. Yes. Is that Elise was always dating and doing and getting into that kind of trouble.
I was in theater kid mess. That's the thing. And like theater kid mess always includes a love triangle. That's why, again, the Ariana and Ethan never shocked me. I said, I've seen this. I've seen this 100. I've been this. Okay.
Yes. And Millie lore is literally like violence and crime and pranking and all kinds of stuff and skipping school and hiding and running from the police. Like, I can, so I think that's kind of the, and I feel like we can see it differently reflected in our lives.
I think it contributes to our different FYPs, which is what makes the podcast great. Okay, so our next question is from T. Chieco in the Go Touch Grass email. This is a question that is addressed to both of us. They ask, and I will say that they did in the email spell Millie, M-I-L-L-I-E. I didn't include it in the doc because I didn't want to upset you. But since we've already addressed this up top, we still love you, T-Chieco. It's okay. But it's why. So their question is, what have been your top 3 days to be on the internet? For me, this is not me speaking. I'm speaking as T-Chieco. T-Chieco says they're top 3 days on the internet were Trump getting COVID, the Titanic submarine, specifically before we found out they were all dead, which I think is a good caveat.
Yeah.
And then number 3, the day that they found Luigi and Mangione, of course. And then honorable mention when Trump almost got assassinated. I feel very strongly connected to this list. I do think Trump getting COVID was the best. I have one I'd add.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
The day the Queen died.
Yeah, I would say the day the Queen died. Trump getting COVID is good. Luigi Day was great. Luigi Day.
The entire like arc of that on Twitter, it's like actually been sustained interesting and funny because we keep getting more information and then it like keeps getting funnier.
Yeah, I think that the murder was
Murder wrong. Anti-murder podcast.
Anti-murder podcast. But the murder, the things, finding out he was cute, getting confirmed that he was cute, him getting caught in a McDonald's, finding his online things, then his lawyer. Now we're in his lawyer.
Yeah, now we're getting lawyer content, which is like a whole other level of all this stuff. And the fact that like they're taking him in and he's yelling stuff to be like, this is an insult to the American people. I'm like, this is getting wild.
Has good theatrics. Somebody, I saw a TikTok today that's like, this is a masterclass in lawyering. Like what this lawyer has set up already, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I feel like Twitter, it's been sustained several days of being a very funny day on Twitter. Titanic submarine was definitely a funny day until, yes, I agree very much with this caveat, before we found out they were all dead.
And to me, I think that finding out the 19-year-old died was sad. Yeah. But like, if it was just a bunch of 50-year-old billionaires, we know how the public feels about that.
Yeah, we just addressed that. But yeah, that's why for me, I'm like, oh, but also like this kid was on the submarine and he was like with, and like his dad clearly just was like, we're going on the submarine. So it's like, that takes, I would put Queen, I love that all of these are days like bad things happened or like violence took place, but I would replace submarine with Queen dying because submarine, there was always in the back of my head that I was like, but also this kid is on the submarine and I do feel bad about the kid. Whereas the Queen lived a long and privileged life and she was like 100 and she got to be the Queen of England. So
I would say also, like finding out that one of the submarine guy's stepson was at a Blink-182 concert and also was weird. Like that was interesting.
Yeah, there were like sub things that were going on.
pun intended.
But also that like, the billionaire that was in charge, that he like had deregulated the submarine and that they were using like a fucking weird joystick in there and stuff. Like there was a lot of like,
doom,
I guess kind details of similar to Luigi in a way that it's like interesting other avenues of information kept coming out as well, which I think sustained it. Trump getting COVID. Well, you know what? Even Trump getting COVID too, because remember he had that weird doctor that came out and was like, he's fine. And like he's coming on talking, looking fucking half dead and stuff. Like, maybe that's what makes a perfect day on Twitter, is that like so much is happening that you have to be in a place where everyone can live, like, give their opinions on it.
Yeah. And like give their jokes and add on and add on and add on. I would say so. The only, like, I would switch out the submarine and Luigi. Like, Trump getting COVID is iconic. I would say that obviously the Montgomery brawl for me that week was so funny on the internet. Chairjitsu, the song, the rap song about it. Everything around the Montgomery brawl was beautiful. And it was, and that was one where it was funny and interesting. We talked about it in our memes of review last year. But like, because no one died, it was really funny.
Yes. Which I guess also brings Trump's assassination up for me too, because like, he wasn't assassinated. Someone just tried. So the implications of that are not great.
I would say, like, also even this year, the only Kamala Trump debate was like online. That was really good, because they're eating the cats, they're eating the dogs. Like, that was crazy. But you know, there's a tinge of sadness looking back.
Yeah, but to actually do one that was in a positive direction, even though again this ultimately ends sad, when Kamala actually got picked. Like when it switched like when Joe Biden stepped down, like when we first got word that like he's gonna do it, to, oh my God, she's at Tyra Banks' Smize and Dream. And then she did it. And then the memes after that was actually like genuinely fun, and no one was dying and no one was dead and no one had been shot or killed or harmed in any way.
I guess in the same quote, I mean, I don't know if this is the top, but this was memorable. Honorable mention was when Georgia and Michigan flip for Biden and all those.
Yes.
I think those are all really good dates. We've named a week of fun. Honestly, all of that was like a month of fun on the internet.
Yes, it really was.
Yes.
Do you want to take this final question? This one's deep.
Hannah from Instagram said, I would love to put in a request for a deep dive on what happened with Fanita. So Fanita is a TikToker and a social media influencer. She now has 1.9 million followers. She was like a funny, like, she was just like a talking head content creator. So she was always like a thing. And then around the time from the Tarte trip, the Tarte Formula One brand trip, where offered the Black content creator, like, not to go on the main day, but then gave white girls like the better seats and better rooms or whatever.
We have a search history on this. If any of you guys are interested for a little more information on that specifically, that's there on our Patreon.
I'll just read, and this is an excerpt from Juan Stroh on Reddit. But again, Tarte is a makeup brand well known for not having foundations for darker skin. So this content creator was invited to go to the trip, and then she decided not to go. And Fanita, who Hannah's asking about, was invited last minute. And people believe she was only invited because she was Black. And also, it was weird because Fanita, again, she's a talking head. She was funny. She didn't do makeup or beauty content. So that's also why it was weird. And the optics were awful, and Tarte handled it terribly. And so did Fanita. Fanita's response to all of that criticism was like, you're mad because I was invited and you weren't. Yes, I'm a token. People saying like, oh, at the time she was plus size. So people were saying that, or she was saying people didn't want her on the trip because she was bigger and I was darker skin and whatever, which wasn't true. So that was its own controversy.
Yeah.
Since then, Fanita has had a lot of crazy moments. You know, she just like made like crass, inappropriate comments. Like Bretman Rock was a popular beauty influencer, like shared a story about his mom. His mother like assaulted someone and Fanita thought that was funny. So now she's a mean girl. she's skinny now. She was also like constantly showing off her body, which whatever. And then like months after the, or like a year after the Tarte thing, she brought up the pay disparity. She was saying like, it's unfair that she gets paid $20,000 when other white creators are earning $50,000, such as Alex Earle. People took issue with that, you know, because even though pay disparity exists, you didn't care about being like Black people not getting treated well mm-hmm. when with the Tarte situation. So why the fuck? And also, Alex Earle, she specifically called out Alex Earle. Alex Earle has 5 million more followers than Finita. So what, white or Black, like, she has a bigger impact.
Anyone who has that many followers, like, they are getting just hand over fist insane amounts of money to do literally anything.
So she's getting, like, criticism back that she doesn't like. Then Finita's, like, calling out other Black influencers, like Machiavelli, or Machiavelli, who's, like, really popular. Finita's calling Machiavelli, like, ugly. And, again, she's getting called out consistently by her own community, and she's saying no one's standing up with her and whatever. So she posted a apology, and then she deleted it. And then kind of, like, the worst thing that she did was... she was like, oh, because a lot of people were like, why are you complaining about making $20,000 when that's more than people, like, that's like more than half, like, everyone's poor, everyone's struggling, and you're bitching about getting $20,000 on brand deals. Like, you're not mm-hmm. hearing your audience. And she's just like, well, you guys are on welfare. You guys are just like, you guys are fucking poor, like this and that, whatever. And then mm-hmm. after that, she started asking people for Cash Apps and like, you know, it was just like disjointed from like her being a mean girl and then her being like, everyone's mean to me. Her saying it doesn't matter that Black people are treated differently and then people are treating her differently because she's Black. And then also yeah. her being like, you guys are broke and jealous. And then being like, hey, can you guys support me and send me money and give me a GoFundMe? So it's all over.
It's like hypocrisy that people don't like about.
Yes. So finally, I'm going to share a 30-second video she posted 2 days ago that I feel like encapsulates her whole thing. And then we can close out the show. And it says, I'm only 26 and making mistakes is a part of life. And I'm going to continue to make them for the rest of my life. But that's the beauty and growth. I love you. Watch my new epi and I'll kiss you. So this is her little thing.
2024 was not the best year of Finita, but it's a learning year. You know, I feel like this is my training arc. Like, this is my training arc. Next year, I get to lock in and, you know, be the best version of myself. I feel like I learned a lot of lessons this year, and I feel like I'm growing as a person. I'm only 26, guys. Please. I have so much life left to live. Like, I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to keep up because I fuck up. I've been fucking up since I was born. You know what I mean? Nothing's going to change since I get older. It actually gets worse because you have more responsibilities and more things that affect your life as you get older. A lot of y'all be asking me, Finita, how do you do it? And the short answer is, I don't know.
So that's kind of the deep dive with Finita. She fucked up a lot, but at least she's
26. That is young. That is quite 26. Young. If she changes the behavior, then, you know, I think everyone has the opportunity to grow from the age of 26 onward.
Yeah, so, guys, that's our mailbag.
Yes, Merry Christmas. If you're listening to this Merry on the day Christmas. It comes out, Merry Christmas. We've got really awesome stuff planned.
Holidays. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah, right, because Christmas is the first day of Hanukkah this year.
Yes.
Happy
yes.
Hanukkah. And we'll have an episode also on New Year's Day. So all fun
we're
things.
Crazy.
I know, because we're crazy. So all great things coming in the new year. And until next time, go Suns!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey, hey, I'm Lamorne Morris.
And I'm Kyle Chevron.
And we are here interrupting your workout to tell you about the Le Morning After Podcast, now on HeadGum.
That's right. Every Wednesday, a new episode drops, and we... Wait, Lamorne, what are you doing over there?
It's nothing, just polishing my Emmy.
Why?
Well, because we're now the only official HeadGum podcast hosted by an Emmy winner.
Is that true?
I mean, probably not. But Jake Johnson's on HeadGum. Does he have an Emmy?
No. But he has been a guest on the Le Morning After.
Which might be an even bigger honor.
I mean, and we have other amazing guests like Glenn Powell, Raven Simone, the cast of New Girl, and many, many more.
Plus, we play games, we tell stories, we poll the fans for questions. We poll them for questions,
just
Nasty.
Polling them constantly. I mean, up and down, sideways, backwards.
It's a lot less weird than it sounds. You'll see. Subscribe to The Morning After on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch video episodes on YouTube. New episodes drop every Wednesday.